Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Good morning, millennials, and welcome back to The Toast. Happy hump day. It is Wednesday, bitch. And if that weren't exciting enough, you know, like we're, you know, on our way to the weekend, it's Wednesday, which means we have Dear Toasters. And Dear Toasters is always just like a fixture in society and in culture. However, in these recent weeks, it's become kind of like, I can't wait. Like, we're just, you know, hanging on till Wednesday. And today is no different. We have an update.
I just want to say something. I'm here too. I haven't spoken yet.
You haven't?
No.
Wow. No wonder I was having so much fun.
Hey, guys. We have an update. I'm excited.
No, it's all I can think about.
As much as I don't want to not be appreciative of the short week, I did think today was Thursday.
You know, it should be.
Yesterday was an incredibly long day.
Never ended. I was in my jeans till 8 p.m.
That felt like 2 days.
100%.
I was shocked that we only had one day of healthfulness under our belt.
Well, that's what's really disappointing. As we spoke about on yesterday's show, Jackie and I yesterday both began like a journey of healthfulness just because we've been kind of like monstrosities in the last couple of weeks. And we did good yesterday, but like,
it was only one day.
One day
at a time, sweet Jesus.
What?
Isn't that the next lyric?
One day at a time. No. I don't know.
It's giving sweet Jesus.
I mean, he died for your sins.
Yours too.
Not mine, actually.
Who do you think has more sins between us?
Oh, me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why'd you ask a question? Like, you obviously knew the answer.
Just like, are we on the same page about that?
I don't know.
I feel like we're sin light. Like, we're not sinners in a sense.
Nobody is sin less.
Wow,
this show has really become something else.
Our cross to bear is that we can't stop talking shit.
Well, yeah, privately. That's true. What are we talking, like, if we're Christian? Like, I take the Lord's name in vain, but I'm not Christian. Like, I'm always like, Jesus Christ.
But I feel like in the hierarchy of sins, you know, like, adultery is worse than shit talk. And, like, those cardinal sins, we don't commit them. Like, lust, greed.
So, actually, in Judaism, there are really three major sins, like, you have to die for. Like, you should die before you commit them. They are adultery, idolatry,
Murder.
And I have never really been on the cusp of doing any of those things. So, like, I feel good where I'm at. Like, my Lashon Hara, which is speak of evil, like, I gossip a lot. Like, I just feel like when the time comes and I'm at the pearly gates, like, I know God's not going to be like, you gossip too much, girl, get out of here. Like, no.
No, he's chuckling at what we're saying.
No, and he's going to be like,
that was funny.
What ended up happening?
No, and it was like, it was true.
Yeah, no, and I don't want to repeat myself because I've said this so many times, but there is a difference between, like, talking shit and an exchange of information. And yes, do I sit around and say, like, she's ugly? Sometimes. But most of the time, it's like, did you hear that they got divorced? Like, I'm just sharing things.
I would say out of the pie of us talking about things, like, 5 to 10% is mean-spirited.
I agree. But the thing is, like, we're family, and it, like, that doesn't make us mean people. And I also think it's important to expel those mean thoughts because they will consume you.
Yeah, and then you could act meanly
become
in your life.
Become a mean person.
And we don't act meanly.
No, we are. Once again, talking about ourselves in the third person, we are generous, we are kind, we are gracious, we are charitable. Like, we are God-fearing women.
Yeah, we are.
So I feel like if I were to die today, like, honestly, like, I feel like as though I would be welcomed in to heaven. Like,
and anything that I would be brought to task for, I can answer for. I can back that shit up.
That's different. That's different. Because if I were to like seriously be held accountable for all my sins in front of God and his peeps, I would not be able to like justify every single bad thing I've ever done.
But then there are a few things that if he brought it up, I'd be like, I feel worse than you do about that. Like,
trust me,
it's killing me more than it's hurting you.
Oh my God, I love that. That's so true.
And it's giving like victim energy.
Should we have Maddie Pruitt on this podcast? Like, this is what this conversation is giving.
It is giving God-fearing women.
We are, by the way, when you think of God-fearing women, you think like church and Christianity, but like you can be God-fearing of like other gods. And like we are God-fearing.
Yeah. And I was watching Love is Blind last night, and that couple that both
Kenny and Brittany
are devoted to God, I thought it was just so beautiful.
It was so cute.
And I liked hearing about it. So I don't mind having this conversation because as a consumer, I enjoyed hearing about just like their thoughts on God.
And I would love if somebody—
And that's on God.
If somebody in the comments could let me know who Brittany looks like. It's pissing me off. Like, I can't figure it out. She looks like someone.
Yeah, she does. I think she probably looks like a lot of people. But
who is it?
I don't know. It didn't come to me.
Sound off in the comments.
Is that a big theme from the discussion about this season? Like, who do people look like?
No, not at all. Oh, because of the Megan Fox thing?
Yeah, but also, I feel like it makes you think, like, if you were in a pod and someone asked you, like, who's your celebrity doppelganger, to get, like, a sense of what you look like.
So the new episodes are out today.
Oh, yeah.
They came out at 3 a.m. Why does Netflix do it at midnight Pacific time? Like, it's annoying.
Probably so they have time to, like, work out the kinks if it doesn't upload properly.
No, it's because Netflix is based in California. Like, they just do it on their own schedule.
Rude. I'm in the middle of episode 4. Things are getting good, and I hope to be finished by the time that you guys watch tonight.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to take some time for myself today. I've been up for a while.
So Jackie did see the Megan Fox moment.
I saw the Megan Fox moment.
And what were your thoughts on that? She's getting dragged for saying it because she like doesn't look like Megan Fox.
I don't mind that she said that she looks like Megan Fox.
And by the way, she didn't say that. She said, I don't see it, but I get told all the time.
Okay, but she was putting out there, hey,
she was manipulating
language. If you pick me, you're going with Megan Fox.
Right.
And I don't mind that she like sees herself as Megan Fox, even if she wants to be like, no, it's not me, it's everyone else. Fine. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I'm Giselle. And that's the sort of confidence that you should have.
I mean, that's what I said on the toast yesterday.
But the timing that she said it, she was kind of losing him.
She was being manipulative. It was
and
like
it's a manipulative thing to say, to be like, hey, maybe you're not sure about me, but I look like Megan Fox. Because obviously that's the thing that's like in the background of everyone's head. It's like, I feel this way about this person, and I also like this person. Which one do I think is I'm going to be more attracted to? So when you hear it's Megan Fox,
it helps put ding, a tick in ding, your column. 1,000%. It was at a point in the conversation where they like were almost veering into talking about Jess, and he was like, I want to change the subject, and he got weird. So she was like, okay, let me keep it fun. But it was strategic.
It was strategic. And she, even though in that moment it was a win for her because she reeled him back in, it will be an L for her if they choose each other, which I don't know yet. And she's not Megan Fox. And even if your celebrity doppelganger, like if she, even if she looked like Megan Fox, you're setting yourself up for disappointment, because unless you are Megan Fox, like then you're gonna be like, oh, you're Megan Fox, but you're
not,
you got big ears, like not saying she does. I haven't seen her ears. I'm just saying,
if you watch my comedy
comparison
special,
is the thief of a joy.
If you watch my comedy special Lean In on Prime Video, which you can now watch in the United States and Canada on Prime Video, you would know like there nothing good ever comes out of celebrity doppelganger conversations, and this is just yet another example of that. Although I did want to say, and what I said on the podcast yesterday is like, I feel very being very cautious about what I'm saying, because this whole saga, the Megan Fox thing has become the only thing that people are talking about. And it continues to be like a thread throughout the show. And I feel as though because of that, and because it's like this hot button moment that everybody's talking about, it has ended in a referendum on her looks. And I feel like no person, especially like a girl, like is equipped to go through that. And I actually feel really bad for her. And she's been putting out like social media content, like laughing with everyone and like poking fun. And I actually think that's like a really good strategy, but it's gotta hurt.
Yeah, no, that's not right. But I do think in general, I know you're against celebrity doppelgangers, but like if I was talking to someone, I wanted to get a sense of what they looked like, and they gave me like a person and said like, I don't look like this person, but we're of similar elk.
Yeah.
That would be helpful to know what I'm going with.
And what's so funny is that Jackie and I both separately said that we thought Chelsea actually looked like Adele.
Yeah, is that what other people are saying?
No. Oh. I haven't seen anyone say that, but I thought it, and then you said it. I'm like, yes, I thought that as well. So that would have been like a better.
Yeah, or she could be like, I look like a combo, and then it's more mysterious. Oh, what do you look like?
Yeah. So I cannot wait for the new episodes. I forgot that that was today. So I guess I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I guess the 5K training is just going to be put on the back burner.
Oh, we could do a little 5K today because the boys will want to watch too.
Yeah, and we have to wait for them. Even though Ben is low-key in New York today and he's coming back tonight.
Adios.
So we'll have to wait for him. But
see ya, Bunge.
See ya. We've got a great show. We've got stories that are
solid as a rock.
Solid as a rock. We've got Dear Toasters, our weekly advice segment, where today we have an update on the girl who last week let us know. She had written in a few weeks ago saying that she had an inkling that her husband, like, she wanted to know if she was being crazy because her husband and his family own a bunch of rental properties. And there was this one, like, young, hot woman living in one of the rental properties. She was, like, being, like, annoying and taking advantage of her husband, being like, oh, the roof is leaking. My toilet's running. And she was like, am I being crazy? I just have a weird feeling. Turns out she was not being crazy. It wasn't just a weird feeling. She came home and found a condom wrapper in her husband's pants after he had been at her house. So we hear from her today.
I need to hear from her. She's been on my mind and my heart, and I know she's been on everyone else's.
And she needs us. She still needs us. Like, there hasn't been a conclusion, but progress has been made in the saga.
Okay. I'm very excited to hear.
Me too. Anything else we want to chat? It's hard. We, like, actually don't have a lot to chit-chat about because yesterday
we did so much chit-chatting on the Patreon. We did so much chit-chatting.
Like, earlier, was it this week or the end of last week, Jackie and I spoke about, like, what would it be like if we did two podcasts a day, like a morning toast and an afternoon toast? And yesterday we kind of put that theory to the test, and we did an afternoon episode on our Patreon. So it was 4 o'clock, and we kind of updated everyone on our day, followed up thoughts we had in the morning, and you know, brought them back up on the afternoon. So it was like an hour-long podcast video and audio that we put on Patreon if you want to see what it would be like to have two episodes a day.
Right, because if you want more than one episode a day, go to patreon.com/thetoast. That's what we realized in this whole exercise. It's like, oh, we already do that. It's called Patreon. You pretty much nets out to like a bonus episode a week, mm-hmm. and you can go listen right now. So that's really exciting. And I also want to say one more thing. Because if you've been on our merch site, you will see that there's a countdown.
You will.
A week from today, we are launching new merch. That is the collection I am most...
A week from today or a week from yesterday?
Week from today. Because okay. It was like 7 days and hours. Yeah. A collection that is so exciting that we've been working on since the fall.
Yeah.
And we've been like waiting for the right time to drop it. The time is now. It's in a week from today. So just gird your loins. We'll start to tease it soon so you'll be able to see. But honestly, like, we don't want like people to copy it.
No, the thing is, it's like the coolest thing we'll ever drop. And yesterday we were like, oh, should we wear it on the Patreon? Maybe give people like a little sneak peek. And Jackie, she was right. She was like, this, like, if we start teasing it before we're actually able to sell it, like, somebody's going to steal the idea. Yeah, like, we're kind of paranoid.
We are.
But even though reason.
Even though we talked about on the Patreon how we are letting go of the chip on our shoulders.
We're saying goodbye to it.
But that's really exciting. So set your calendars, get excited, mentally prepare. Next week, new merch dropping.
So just like get that in your head, in your thick skulls, okay?
That's not a way to sell.
No, it's not a way to sell. Bullying. That's one of the things I'll have to answer for.
Totally.
When my time comes.
I think without further ado.
Sure.
It's time.
I'm actually excited about the stories.
Same. It's time for the Fast Five Stories That You Need to Know that Claudia is actually excited about.
And the Fast Five Stories That You Need to Know that Claudia is actually excited about are brought to you by McDonald's. As the Toasters know, we are truly wholeheartedly obsessed with McDonald's. There's nothing better than getting home from a long night, ordering your McDonald's or having your husband pick it up for you, getting out of your dress, taking your girdle off, and just laying on the couch with an ice cold soda and whatever your go-to order from McDonald's is. And we're so excited to partner with McDonald's to talk about their classic burgers, which are hotter, juicier, and tastier than ever before. So much so that the Hamburglar is on the loose. We have nothing but empathy and respect for the Hamburglar, because how could you blame him for trying to get himself the Big Mac he deserves? After all, the McDonald's patties are cooked to juicy perfection and the cheese is perfectly melted. We're talking a pillowy, soft golden bun and a Big Mac that now has more special sauce in every bite. I have been mispronouncing Big Mac in every single read that we've done for McDonald's. Somebody pointed that out. I keep saying Big Mac. Like, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I just said it right. A Big Mac. Oh, by the way, I swear that wasn't intentional. A Big Mac that now has more special sauce than in every bite. We stand with the Hamburglar because McDonald's best classic burgers are better than ever. So try McDonald's best burgers ever at a McDonald's near you. I just feel like, if you listen to the toast, like, you know, I don't really have to like explain and sell McDonald's to you. You know, it's perfection. So head to your McDonald's and try out their best burgers ever. Today's episode is also brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time, all in one place and all on your own terms. So you need a website. Like, I don't know what you do for a living, but I guarantee you need a website. Whether you have your own business, you work in e-commerce, you're a photographer, a graphic designer, a videographer, you want to showcase your art, you want to showcase your portfolio, you need a website, and it can be extremely daunting to, like, you don't know where to start if you're not like a computer wizard. And Squarespace is really great. It's really accessible. It's really easy to use. They have great website templates. So whatever type of website you're trying to build, whether it's you're trying to sell something, you're trying to showcase art, whatever it is, they have a template that's going to look really professional and be all done by you. You don't have to hire a fancy company. You can sell custom merch on a Squarespace store. You can create an online store. You can showcase a video collection. You can do email campaigns. You'll also get great tools and analytics, so you can use those insights to grow your business. The blogging tools that Squarespace has are super powerful to share your stories, photos, videos, and updates. They really just have everything from top to bottom. So whenever you need a website for, like, you can guarantee that Squarespace is going to have what you need. And if you check out squarespace.com, you'll get a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/toast to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. So that free trial is available at squarespace.com. Once you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/toast, T-O-A-S-T, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. Today's episode is also brought to you by Macy's. All right, holiday season is upon us. It's that time of year, Passover, Easter energy. And whatever you're celebrating, like, you need good things for the home. You need decor. Are you hosting? Are you buying a gift to go to someone else's house? Macy's has you covered so you can look your best, of course, but then also show off your home in the best possible manner. So Easter is happening early this year. Get ready for the Easter Bunny on Sunday, March 31st. From pastel outfits for the whole family to brunch-ready serveware, Macy's has you covered. They also have Toys R Us Easter basket goodies, so from books to stuffed animals and even slime. You can find it all in-store, online, at Macy's.com. Macy's is also committed to empowering the next generation to create a brighter future for all. And that's why they are supporting UNCF, an organization that funds scholarships for students at historically Black colleges and universities, now through February 29th. So help Macy's and UNCF continue their impact by rounding up your purchase in-store or donating online. So get excited to give back. You can learn more at Macy's.com/purpose and get yourself ready for Easter at Macy's.com or, of course, in-store. They've got you covered. Everything from home to clothing to beauty, whatever you need. You need a gift for someone for Easter, you need a dress for the fam, they've got you covered at Macy's. That's macys.com, or just head over to the store nearest you.
Thank you, La.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Our first story, Kelly Rowland walked off the Today Show as a guest host because her dressing rooms weren't up to par, leaving Hoda Kotb scrambling. Mm-hmm. So this story has been developing ever since Kelly Rowland dramatically walked out of NBC's Today Show on Thursday morning after the star thought her dressing room was not up to snuff, as sources exclusively tell Page Six. The singer and actress was a guest on the 8 a.m. hour of Today and then was expected to fill in for Jenna Bushager in the fourth hour as a guest host of Today with Hoda and Jenna. However, she dropped out at the 11th hour because her dressing room wasn't up to par and she left Hoda scurrying to find a replacement, sources told Page Six. Kelly and her team were not happy. They did not like the dressing room, so they decided to pull her off the show, leaving Hoda without a guest host for the 10 a.m. hour. She was on the show to promote her new Tyler Perry-produced Netflix movie, Mea Culpa, in which she stars and is also a producer. Her abrupt exit left everyone perplexed because she's beloved at Today. She was getting the full hour. Hoda's right. The biggest hype woman on the planet. It made no sense.
And then a follow-up story was she continued to do press for this and she went on Sherry Shepherd's show. And Sherry Shepherd gave Kelly Rowland her own dressing room. Sherry Shepherd gave Kelly Rowland Sherry's dressing room, like the host of the show. Yeah. She gave it to her. For the, like,
because she's like a dressing room diva. Now, there are photos of the dressing rooms at the Today Show.
And I have to say, not to like make everything about me, I have been on the Today Show. Now, I wasn't a guest host and I wasn't there for hours. They literally tell you to come 5 minutes before. They don't have a lot of space. And there's like, do you know how many people go on the Today Show every day? Like local community, like groups, like there's a million people. They put you in a broom closet for 10 minutes. You go, you leave. That's it.
Yeah. So here are photos from 2021 that showed dressing rooms that are just like in disarray. They're very small. They're shit everywhere, and maybe that's what she walked into. Let's assume.
Yeah, like Hoda's room is covered in shit and tiny. So it's clear that this is what the Today Show has, not that they have amazing dressing rooms and they decided to give Kelly Rowland the worst one, right?
Yeah, they were trying to like play musical chairs with the dressing rooms, find another dressing room. Apparently there's a green room, but J-Lo was already in there. Oh, so
yeah, the thing is like, this is just really like bad. It's a bad look for Kelly Rowland. It's bad behavior.
Especially because so many major celebrities go on the Today Show. I'm sure a lot of them have walked into that room. I can imagine a celebrity walking into that room and being like, no, no. Especially if you have a lot of people. No, think like, highly of yourself. Like,
oh my God, you just reminded me. Do you have a story you could swap out?
Yeah, I did.
Or are we talking about J-Lo?
Yeah.
Okay.
I swapped already.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Because I already did.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what this story reminded me too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, back to Kelly Rowland. Now, there are very, very few people on planet Earth who could get away with behavior like this. Now, unfortunately, Kelly Rowland is not one of those people. But you know who is her good friend? Beyonce. But you know, Beyonce, like people who can act like this wouldn't. Beyonce would never. Like, I feel like Beyonce would be like talking shit with her friends, would be like professional, true, you know, woman.
It's true. People who can act like this wouldn't. And that's why they can.
Yeah.
And that's why they wouldn't.
And I don't know why I was like kind of shocked. I don't know Kelly Rowland on a personal level, but what I've gleaned from her just as a consumer of her work for many years is that she's like a cool down to earth girl. And, you know, getting to go on the Today Show is obviously a huge get, but also getting that guest co-host spot is huge. And it was a missed opportunity for her to like do the hour where she could have obviously just, you know, shown her personality to millions of people. But also now I just have like an icky taste. It's like, this is really in poor taste.
Yeah, it is. However, valiant hero Rita Ora stepped in at the 11th hour and co-hosted with Hoda.
Oh. And you know what?
And
Kelly
I feel like
Rowland's loss is Rita Ora's gain. I feel like Rita Ora wouldn't have gotten this gig if she wasn't just in the building at the exact same time that they
needed
her.
Right. I feel like that part of the story is kind of skidded over, and I didn't watch the hour, but it's not an easy job to do, especially at the
with
last
no prep.
Minute. Good for her.
Yeah, I feel like that's a job we would be good at. And I am based in New York if they ever need anyone.
Beyond good at.
It's kind of like what we do here.
Yeah.
Except we just couldn't curse on the Today Show, which I can do because I can't curse on Amazon Live.
And you're okay with that?
Yeah, I actually don't think I've ever flubbed. Margot has once.
Even when I'm trying not to curse, I can't stop myself because I'm just not aware.
So fucking hard. I know.
You know?
I do know.
You guys, I want to like see how many times I curse in this episode. I want to try not to, even though I will completely forget about that after I say this.
I'll like take a mental note.
Okay, yeah. Call me out in a nice way.
Yeah. Just, should we have a swear jar?
Swear jar.
But we should put like food in it because like who carries their own coins?
Yeah, or we should put like gift cards.
But you and just have gift cards lying around?
Who swore the least can go shopping.
I think like a modern swear jar is like a Venmo jar.
Oh,
Not as fun.
No, not as fun. I like a jar, like a physical.
And maybe the beautification committee can make a nice one that would be our new centerpiece.
Got it. But what would we be sitting here with at all times that we could put in? Nothing.
Like pieces of duty. Like saliva.
Pieces of duty jar.
P-O-D-G.
Wait.
J. So back to this Kelly Rowland thing. Like really weird behavior. Beyonce would never.
Yeah, not a good look.
Not a good look. And then like Sherry Shepherd, like kind of giving her dressing room, like
dignifying the behavior.
Yeah. That I don't understand at all.
Also, Kelly Rowland's rep spoke out mm-hmm. about the saga. She said, after 28 years of knowing her, Kelly Rowland remains one of the kindest, most amiable humans I've ever met and have had the blessing to represent.
So I'm going to give Kelly Rowland the benefit of the doubt here. I remember the Today Show is extremely early. Like if she was on the 8 o'clock hour, this girl's been up since like 4 or 5 o'clock. Maybe she was just like in a foul mood. And I actually can relate to that. So
I can relate to
that.
Like,
I would never.
No,
like,
if this
back
story
out.
Was just like Kelly Rowland, like was a diva behind the scenes of the Today Show because she didn't like her dressing room. Like I could understand that having happened to leave and leave Hoda in the lurch when she's doing you a solid. Like,
yeah,
that's not right.
Especially when Hoda is one of those celebrities who I feel is like friends with everyone, is good to everyone, like a generous queen. I feel like she's not the type of person you want to piss off either.
Right. It's like she's super sweet, but don't get on her bad side.
Yeah. And she's also like an extremely powerful woman in media.
But the whole organization of the Today Show.
She'll never be invited back. And that's bad. If you're trying to like have a career in entertainment. Like it's just a necessary part of like the press junket cycle.
Yeah. Plus it's also NBC and there's more.
NBC Universal.
NBC Tings.
It's Bravo. It's USA Network. They own everything. It's the Olympics. Like it's everything.
So Kelly Rowland's not going to the Olympics.
You will not see Kelly Rowland in Paris of summer 2024.
This summer.
This summer. Oh my God. Wait. I have to start getting excited. Yeah. That's why I'm wearing red, white, and blue today.
And you're sporty.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the fact that I feel like people are going to be like, oh my God, I love the Rangers.
Well, I would love to go to a Rangers game if anybody would like to take me.
You have a sweatshirt?
I do have a sweatshirt. Actually, I went into Jackie's closet and I just kind of stood there for like 25 minutes, like trying on and touching every sweater. And I somehow ended up with this Rangers one. The thing is, I'm trying on different colors while I'm here. Like I don't want to wear white, black, or gray on my top on the toast anymore. So I've been trying, I don't know if you guys have noticed, I've been wearing like colors every single day and just seeing like which one makes my face look best.
Okay.
And I haven't worn like a cobalt blue yet.
Yeah.
And that's what I was doing today. That was the thought process behind this look.
I like that.
Yeah, like you're wearing pink. Like let's see how your face looks.
I'm always wearing pink.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't even know if pink is the right color for me. Don't sound off in the comments because, like, I like to wear it.
I kind of love that. Don't sound off in the comments.
Yeah, like, I'm not looking for opinions. I will continue wearing pink. But I do think that if it didn't look good on me, like, I wouldn't be wearing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think it looks bad on me.
Don't sound off in the comments.
No. This
don't get it twisted. This isn't, like, you know, I feel like a group discussion.
So often we make everything a group discussion.
We're desperate for people to sound off in the comments.
But I don't need everyone to be like, no, Jackie, pink isn't your color. Like, and then I'm going to keep wearing pink and then I'm going to be feeling weird. Like, is it not my color? I don't want to know.
Yeah.
And by the way, like, I like how I look in the mirror. So guess what? It's my color.
You look great.
Survey says.
Survey says you are the color.
Are you ready for our next story?
Not unless it's about J-Lo.
It's not. It's not, because I have, like, it's thematic.
Okay.
And this is kind of, like, the second biggest story of the day.
Oh, what is it?
Tom Sandoval was profiled in the New York Times, yeah, which is just, like, news in itself. I have not read the profile.
Nobody has. They've just read that one blurb that's going viral.
However, there's one blurb that's going viral wherein Tom Sandoval compared himself to O.J. Simpson's murder trial and George Floyd. So in the article, he was asked why he thought his affair with Raquel had gotten so big in the media. And he said, I'm not a pop culture historian, really, but I witnessed.
You're not?
But that's not even the craziest part. But I witnessed the O.J. Simpson thing and George Floyd and all these big things, which is really weird to compare this to that, I think. But do you think in a weird way it's a little bit the same?
This is like a manic person who's like deeply mentally ill and narcissistic. Like, the fact that the New York Times profiled him, I think, says a lot about the state of journalism. Like, the New York Times, mm-hmm, this is all the news that's fit to print. And also, like, maybe there was a time where a profile on Tom Sandoval would have been interesting. Like, that time has passed. So, like, get with the program, New York Times. So hearing, like, this, like, they didn't edit his words, like, kind of, you know what I mean? This is how this person's speaking. Like, this is a crazy person.
This is a crazy person. And then the follow-up quote from the editor was like, he clearly, you know, has lost perspective.
Yes.
If he thinks that this is as big as those things. And he put out a statement, and this is what he said.
I didn't see that.
My intentions behind the comments I made in New York Times Magazine were to explain the level of national media attention my affair received. The comparison was inappropriate and ignorant. I'm incredibly sorry and embarrassed. Honestly, like, facts on that statement. Like, I can understand as Tom Sandoval, like, what he thought he was saying. Because here's the thing. Sandoval was
huge.
Top five news stories of the year. News, too.
Yeah. I know what he was trying to say.
Like, it was bigger than it should have been. It was the biggest thing that was happening. It permeated all levels of media. Like, Sandoval's on CNN. It's in the New York Times. Like, it was very, very massive.
Yeah.
Like, and other things that were very, very massive were.
But it was just, like, I would have chosen different things. Honestly, like, the OJ one wasn't the most far off.
Yeah.
The George Floyd one, like, not the best. But I'm trying to think, like, what I would have compared it to. Honestly, like, well, no, because that's also, like, murdery. Like, the Murdaugh trials. Like, that's how much everyone was talking about it. Like, I'm trying to think of a Megxit.
Yeah. I think if he had stuck to OJ, it wouldn't have, like, raised the alarm.
But agreed.
And it's kind of like he's comparing himself to George Floyd. Like, it's a crazy thing to do.
It's psychotic. But also, like, if you've been keeping up with this saga, specifically, like, the mental health of one Tom Sandoval, like, this isn't shocking. Like, he literally thinks of himself. Like, you see even in the episodes, like, how he walks around his house. Like, he thinks, like, he's seriously, like, this, like, Jesus on the cross. Like, for real.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, like, for a moment he was. And so he has these delusions of grandeur, but the thing was so grand.
Yeah, but, like, he wasn't grand.
No.
The thing that he was a part of was
so grand, not in a good way, in a big way.
Yeah.
And he already thinks so bigly of himself.
He does.
But, like, for one moment he was that big, but he doesn't realize, like, it was all negative and it wasn't even, like, as big as he thinks it was, but it was extremely big.
It was extremely big.
So
it was enormous.
He was trying to explain the size and scale of it.
But also so important to note, like, this isn't, like, a deeply smart person.
No.
Or, like, well-educated or doesn't have their finger on the pulse of the tone of the culture. Like, yeah. This is just a person who definitely lives in their own world and who thinks of themselves very highly.
Yeah. And I'm not a Sandoval apologist, but I can understand how he arrived at saying something right. So fucking crazy. And I just want to say, like, I appreciate him saying something so fucking crazy because it's funny as hell.
Yeah, yeah. I can understand how he thought that, how he got to that too. But a normal person would have used, like, deductive reasoning to be like, maybe I should switch out these two examples. Because the point he was trying to make isn't lost on me, but it's lost on everyone now because we're just focusing. I'm like, did you just call yourself George Floyd? Like, it was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that his statement, even though people will, like, not care what he said and don't, if they were offended by what he said, like, they won't forgive him. I think his statement, like, perfectly sums up. Whoever wrote this, obviously it wasn't him. Like,
it wasn't.
We get it. The thing is, I have so many issues with Sandoval. Like, this doesn't even register.
Yeah.
I also have issues with, like, I think he has a crisis PR team that's trying to
do something.
Do a 180 on his persona. For me, though, it's not like even if we can undo the effects of Sandoval, like, I'll get back to a good place with Tom because I didn't like him.
Yeah, we were kind of ahead of our time in that sense that we always knew there was something nefarious about him.
But I guess these puff pieces are meant for the people who were attending his shows before Sandoval, like those people.
The fans. Like, he had fans.
He had fans.
Yeah, freaks.
And I think those people are also the people who are going the hardest against him because they're just so invested in this world.
Yeah, and they were fans of him because they were fans of him and Ariana.
Yeah, and no, but also like fans of him and like his extra most.
I actually like, I refuse to believe that there are people who are fans of the extra most. Like, I just, there's not.
There were people who were on their own. Like, Tom was their favorite one on the show.
No way. Sound off in the comments.
The extra most.
If you are one of those people,
in concert.
If you are one of those people, like, I need to interview you.
Claudia, those people don't listen to this show, so they can't sound off.
Thank God for
that. So they can't sound off in the comments.
Oh, that makes me feel better.
But these puff pieces are, I think, to win back those people, not us.
Got it. It's just crazy that, like,
but those people will not like this comparison.
Also, Raquel was, like, starting some drama on Instagram yesterday. I'm just kind of compiling all the times Sheena, because Sheena did like an after show, you know, Bravo has those like weird after shows.
Yeah.
Just being like the clowning on somebody for nonstop talking about Sandoval. And then Raquel put together like a reel of every time Sheena in the last couple of months has said Sandoval on her podcast. Like, it's a million times. Like, Sheena's podcast blew up because of Sandoval. Like, a lot of those girls podcasted, the Bravo Vanderpump girls. So there's like signs of life from Raquel as well.
Well, she has a podcast. She's got to get in the mix.
I'm ready for her to return.
To the show.
Yeah.
Me too.
I also need to catch up on the show. The episode was last night. I've seen what the general theme was, and it was talk about apparently Tom Sandoval was suicidal during the saga and what that meant for like Lisa and stuff. Hmm. And I think a lot of people are just like not believing him.
Ooh.
Which is kind of crazy.
That is kind of crazy that like people are saying that. No one with like a platform is saying that though, right?
No, like the fans,
because they could say whatever they want.
Yeah, there's no accountability.
There's no right, but like I think that's like a cancelable offense.
Yeah, like I'm just gonna kill myself. No, you weren't.
Right, but do the rules apply to Tom Sandoval? I think that's where, as a society, we're struggling. And I think for a while they didn't, and that's why people were saying like the downright nastiest things too and about Raquel.
Do the rules of civility apply to someone who you perceive to be as like a villain? That's a good question.
I think they do.
I think they do too. And I think that people took it too far with Raquel.
Right, right. So
especially if that person appears to be like empathetic and sorry for what they've done.
Right, but also that person was a lesser villain, sure. So it's easier to like have a softer spot for her.
And she's also a girl. So
but
like,
even if, yeah. No, I'm thinking about where I stand. I need to watch the episode.
Me too. We need to catch up. But like, we've been so Love is Blind, eh?
We've been so. And we're just like enjoying each other.
It's true.
Are you ready for our next story?
Is it the next story about J-Lo?
It will be the next story about J-Lo because the next two stories are related in shameful music news.
Okay. We need to talk about J-Lo. And we're going to get to this story in 1 second. But just like a little backstory that I feel nobody's talking about, which is a great preface for the story. J-Lo recently released a film and an album. They were like a joint project. Yeah. And she's been doing press about this film, basically saying she had to fund it herself. And it's giving like sob story about like women in media. I don't know. But essentially she like pitched all these networks the idea for her movie, which is like a story of how her album came to life. And nobody took it. And she's doing press saying the story. Nobody took it. So she decided to bet on herself. She produced the film and financed it herself, $20 million on this film. And now it's like flopping.
And it's on Amazon.
So Prime. It's on Amazon. I am curious how much, if any, she made back. Like, how much did Amazon pay to license it?
Yeah. Well, here's my question. Why didn't anyone pick it up? Obviously, like, we know that nobody really was interested, but like, J-Lo's the sort of name that the industry just like keeps propping up. There's a million. This isn't it. I really like J-Lo. Me too. But some people, you'll never really know if they're are or aren't successful because they just like keep shining and they keep getting opportunities. And it's like the same people regurgitated through the system. And she's one of those people. So like, why would they say no to her?
Well, these are tough economic times. I don't know why, like, a network, when you think about all the crap Netflix, Amazon, HBO.
No, but, like, this is crap, too.
Yeah. So, like, why is this crap different from all of the crap?
Right. And it's like, we take everyone's documentary and every major celebrity and who's the bigger name. And, like, J-Lo's as big as they get. And also, she's had a really big year and people are really interested about her and Ben. Like, this isn't the worst idea I've ever heard.
Well, the film is bizarre.
Okay.
It's like animatronic. Like, I can't even explain it. It's not like a movie. Like, I can't explain it.
I see a still from it.
It looks like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Like, yeah, and then it looks like AI.
Yeah. But wait, back. Oh, so I do wonder if perhaps her Netflix doc, Halftime, like, if it was crazy successful, you would use that data to pitch your next, maybe it was a flop. I didn't watch it.
True.
Like, I don't know. I don't know why nobody bought it, but it's crazy to me because I feel like there is no interest in a movie or an album from J-Lo, and we're going to get to the story that proves that. So I find it shocking that all these streaming services who spend money like it's nothing knew that.
The buck stops here.
Yeah, like, how do they know? Or why do they care now? Yeah, like, they're always putting up crap.
They're always putting up crap, but they have the numbers to sort of back it up, and they don't really have to be accountable because it's like one show pays for everything else, right. And they can, you know, spend
like
money.
Love is Blind literally is paying for all of Netflix's original content. That and like Bridgerton.
Right, but they can like spend money on things that like make nobody cares about, that industry things care about, and they just keep like circle jerking each other with it because they have the big thing. So mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird to me that the buck ended here with her.
So all of that was in anticipation of this new album that she did all this crazy press for. She spent $20 million and it's called This Is Me Now.
And it's giving Demi Lovato. Like,
oh my God, it's giving Demi Lovato.
This is the real me today.
Now. And then in 6 months, she'd be like, no, never mind. This is the real me now.
Ignore her.
Yeah, I hate when people do that.
I don't know her.
Yeah.
So J-Lo's This Is Me Now is suffering a career low, fans say, and the release can't be saved despite long list of A-list cameos. So J-Lo has attempted a comeback that fans don't think her career will be able to come back from. She released her 9th studio album, This Is Me Now, paired with a star-studded Amazon Prime special. Her LP has 16 tracks, a lot of features. However, this could not save it from its shockingly low reception upon its debut. On Spotify, many of the tracks have not surpassed 40,000 streams and lacks any chart-topping singles aside from Can't Get Enough, which has 4 million streams. After that, the drop-off is huge, with no other song on the album crossing 1 million streams.
40,000. Like, first of all, and numbers, I feel, are always inflated.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, because someone like Spotify could serve it to you in a playlist and it plays, but then you turn it off to the next song. But I think that counts.
And there are like, you know, stans who will like put all their
phone devices on repeat.
Devices to repeat. So I feel as though like Spotify numbers are always really like hyped up and inflamed. So for her to have songs that not reach 40,000, like that's insanely low.
Yeah.
Like that's like, not to make everything about me, but like I did release a song and like, it did hit a million streams, like, and I'm truly nobody. Like, that's crazy.
How long did it take to hit a million?
A month.
Yeah. No, and she's J-Lo, Halftime Show.
She's J-Lo. And I feel like she's so, I hate to use the word desperate, because I don't think she's a desperate person, but she is desperate to stay relevant. I feel like she's always entering these new eras.
Yeah, she's not, like, gonna go to Vegas and retire and live off the land.
But the thing is, she is a pop star in retirement who refuses to retire. And I don't mean retire, go live in a retirement home. I mean like
play
the greatest hits, do a Vegas residency. Maybe you'll collaborate with another artist. You do a bunch of YouTube videos. Like she refuses to enter that era of her music career. And I think it's to her detriment. Like no one, and for not just now, for a really long time, nobody has been interested in new J-Lo music. Like the catalog is the catalog and it's excellent. It's A+. Stop.
I agree. I also feel like she's had so much success as an actress recently. Yes. And if I were her, I would do more of that.
Yeah, like the kind of the music career is done. Like, and it's not over.
It's done in a sense of like newness.
Yeah. And if she were to kind of go about it like Lady Gaga, like do a big project every year, like that's a great way to stay relevant. You do the award shows like when she did Hustlers.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was a real peak for her, Hustlers.
Yeah.
In terms of her relevance.
No, and also like, you know, industry accolades. Because she has done a lot of things where she doesn't really get hype. Her shine. I feel like she has kind of a chip on her shoulder too. Like
really?
Us.
I actually disagree. I think she could use a chip.
I don't know. I feel like with all that Oscar buzz, like she was shedding her chip because she really couldn't get like serious people to think seriously about her. I saw that movie.
She didn't deserve an Oscar nom. I'm sorry.
No, but it was a good movie and she did a good job.
It was an amazing movie. I enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah.
And
she deserved an Oscar nom for Selena.
Right. But
did she get one?
I don't know. That Hustlers movie was like her first foray back into like serious acting. Like if she had stuck with it, like I love the Lady Gaga strategy. Like one big project and you make it your personality for a year. A Star is Born, House of Gucci. Now it's the Joaquin Phoenix movie. Like you get to go to all the award shows. You still stay super relevant, but you're not like up people's ass and being annoying and you're doing something new. And if you're doing it well, which she does do it well, she was very good in Hustler. She didn't deserve an Oscar, but she was good. And she's a talented actress. We know this. And they're also just like so
but many, I wouldn't so even compare questions. Them because I want new albums I'm not from Lady Gaga.
I'm not comparing the two
I don't
all.
Think Lady Gaga should stop putting out new
Me
works
neither.
Of art.
No, I'm sorry.
She has more to give us.
No, I agree. I was just talking about like how Lady Gaga does this thing with acting.
Okay.
And I think she does it really well. And she gets taken very seriously. And she didn't have a lot of acting experience.
Yeah.
Also, when it comes to her music career, there's also like a lot of questions about it. We were talking about.
Of course.
And, you know, people did let me know. Ashanti has actually been very vocal about, and Christina Milian, two women who have been very vocal about like their voices being on J-Lo tracks. Like there is there. So why not pivot, you know?
Yeah.
Like, well, let's see, but stop reminding people.
It's time to look at the data. The data says this.
No streaming services wanted her documentary or mm-hmm. whatever it is, movie. And her streams were abysmal.
Yeah.
So what do we do? Like, what would your recommendation be? Like, if you were JLo's publicist?
I would take a breath. I would look at the things that JLo has been, like, most loved for. I would focus on those things. Yeah, maybe another acting project, maybe even a Vegas residency. Let's play the hits. Let's remind them we sing. Let's remind them we dance. And let's remind them they've never seen a show like this before. And let's kind of, you know.
I think she did one.
No, but she did like a short, like let's do a real one.
Oh, you mean like a Celine Dion one?
Yeah.
Britney.
Yeah. And then we will forget about like this chapter. This is a blip on the radar.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's do like more Met Gala with Ben.
Yeah, that's like what retired pop stars do.
Yeah.
And retired is like has a negative connotation and I don't mean it that way.
J-Lo skin.
Beauty
glow.
Also flop, like big flop.
That's a shame because she's someone that I would take beauty advice from. I don't think anyone looks more amazing than she does.
I think a lot of people felt like it was just like an obvious cash grab. Not like she was sitting down with the dermatologist, like coming up with formulas. Like,
yeah,
it just felt like a little, I agree. Cause she's the type of person who looks amazing. Like I would buy workout anything from her. I would buy skin things from her. Like she's a person who's really like, I think a lot of women look up to who looks amazing for her age. And I just felt like that whole JLo beauty thing, like the launch was kind of flop.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's in her flop era.
Okay. It's fine.
It's fine. Happens to everyone. Viola Davis said it.
There's like, nowhere to go but up.
You got to flop. Yeah. You can't. Yeah. Right. You can't be up if you were never down.
Yeah. And at least she's up in her personal life.
True.
Like she has, you know, more success than she would ever need. She'll be fine.
She'll be fine.
What this is it's embarrassing.
Yes. Yes. And we need to pivot. Mm-hmm. Like Ross Geller.
In more embarrassing musical news.
What number is this? Four?
Four. Mm-hmm. Normani has been accused of running her own fan account.
I saw this whole thing unraveling live on social media last night and I had to clench my butthole.
So Normani recently made headlines after wiping her official, she didn't make headlines.
She didn't.
But she wiped her Instagram page, Normani, because, you know, that's what artists do when there's a new era coming. And then a Normani stan account posted a screenshot of Normani's blank Instagram saying, "What is happening?" However, the screenshot that the stan account posted still had like the user logo on the top left corner. It wasn't cropped out. And you could see that it was from that @Normani Instagram profile.
So
thus, you know, she took the screenshot, like the person who was on Normani's account took the screenshot of a fan account and acted like what is happening. However, if you are on Normani's account, like, you know exactly what's happening.
So do I think that like Normani herself is running two Twitter accounts, one for Normani and one for Normani Nation? No.
Is Normani Nation like the official one?
I think.
Okay.
Do I think like maybe someone on her record label, PR team, marketing, one of her management team does both? Yes. And that's embarrassing.
So it's definitely was not her.
No, not like the girl Normani.
Not the girl Normani, but Team Normani.
Yeah.
Runs Normani fan account and pretends like they don't. Like at least Taylor Nation
is
Tree.
It is Taylor's management, that like in their bio.
Right.
And that's where you get all the news that you need on updates, on tour, on merch. Like it all comes from, it's verified. That's also what Harry Styles has. He has HSHQ.
Right. So this is not that.
No.
What is happening? It's just like, oh my God, you know what's happening. Like you did it.
Yeah. And there's also this like running joke on social media about Normani because when she, you know, there was a lot of hype for her music career. I remember we had this really long conversation about it in their old studio in Long Island City. And she had released Motivation and she had that really amazing performance. I think it was at the VMAs where she was wearing those really cute basketball shorts. Like, there was a lot of hype. They said she was going to be the next Beyonce. And there was like, Beyonce was getting involved. Like, and she has this tweet that people constantly refer to because it was basically like, you guys are not ready for this album. Like, it will change the course. Like, she didn't say this, but like, it was basically saying like, it will change the course of music history. The album never came out. She has never released a body of work. And there's this like running joke online, like, we'll get it when we get Normani's album. And so for her to be making moves now, finally, for this album that we've heard about for years, and this is the narrative, like, it's really unfortunate.
No, it's bad.
And whoever, and I want to state, I do not think it was Normani running her fan account, but it was definitely someone who works for Normani. They should be fired. Like, this is a fireable offense. It looks
fired.
Really bad. Like, I'm all about, like, people make mistakes, social media managers.
No.
This
you
is
had one job, bill so, type.
And people just, like, they there are a lot of eyes on Normani because of this running joke.
No.
It's bad.
Unforgivable.
Unforgivable. I'm sorry. It is. And it's just, because you want to know why? It's moreover, it's embarrassing.
And like, there's no way around it, you know?
Right. And even though we know it was someone who works for Normani, not Normani herself, like the culture, the people.
No, it's not even about the culture, the people knowing. Even if everyone knew it was Normani's team, it's like, what's embarrassing is she doesn't actually have a big fan account. Like, she's been propping herself up all this time, her and her team. Like, not even that, oh, we slipped on showing it. It's like, so where are the fans?
Okay, and that
are just, the fans in the room with us?
And that just reminded me, and I can't believe I'm about to bring up Maddie Pruitt again. But do you remember when Maddie Pruitt, like right after her Bachelor season ended, she was really, really famous. She was caught also running her own fan account.
Yes. In what way was she caught?
She left a comment on her own Instagram account, but she thought she was commenting from the fan account, being like, oh, Mads, like you look so cute or something.
Like something to her sister or something.
Yeah, like she was on the wrong account basically and commented and people saw it immediately.
Got it. Embarrassing, but like that's what happens when you're coming up in the reality TV world. Like you're not, like, yeah, you do embarrassing shit like that. Normani is
A star.
Like, she has teams.
Yeah.
She has people.
Yeah. Unacceptable.
Like, what's Maddie going to do? Fire herself?
Boom.
Like, oops.
Yeah, no, it's true. Like, you can just, like, you know, curse yourself. But this is an avoidable thing when you have, like, a whole team of people.
Teams.
Yeah, and it probably was, like, the social media manager who had to go and clear out Normani's Instagram because it's not an easy thing to do.
No, and then she wanted people to know, like, and alert them it happened. What is happening? Yikes. And it's like, it's also if we took a magnifying glass to like the tweet itself, it's like, that's what I guess a real Stan account would say.
Yeah, like a teenager.
But would they, you know what I mean? It's like.
No, I feel like they would do like a bunch of letters being like, guys, I don't know how people talk, but.
Right.
Something like that.
So
what is happening?
Just a tough day for the pop stars.
Big L for the pop stars.
Yeah. But our fifth and final story is a big W.
A big W is brought to you by the biggest W, Taylor Farms.
the biggest W.
Taylor Farms chopped salad kits deliver the freshest, best tasting salads to eat at home or on the go across North America. They are really where convenience meets freshness. You know, I'm not a chef. I've never claimed to be. I really can't make a lot of things, but the salad in a bag from Taylor Farms, which is really something I never thought I'd eat, salad in a bag. Because when you think salad in a bag, you think brown. You think brown lettuce. You think not fresh. Taylor Farms has mastered the salad in a bag. They have the best flavors. All the ingredients are so fresh and it's really idiot proof. Also, if you like to customize your salads as much as I do, like you can leave some ingredients out. I also am always like grilling up chicken and putting it in my salads. You can make it your own. It's very customizable. And Jax, as a mom on the go, like salad in a bag is the meal for moms.
The meal for me.
And I feel like once we started talking about Taylor Farms, like everyone's talking about it now. Do you agree? I feel like
it's like one of those things. We don't know what the name is, but once you see it everywhere. It's at every grocery store. They have a Taylor Farms wall. It's the most exciting wall. My cup runneth over.
Whenever while I've been here, we go to Olivia's house for dinner, which is quite a bit. She always has a Taylor Farms salad in her big wooden salad bowl. And it's just easy for her. It's delicious.
And I love to see people coming to Taylor Farms on their own, but she did find it like on her own and not through the toast. So I found that to be like a little hurtful.
No, I mean, we invented Taylor Farms, but whatever.
Yeah.
Taylor Farms.
But it just goes to show, like, it's ubiquitous. And if you're not on the train, you're not living.
You can purchase Taylor Farms chopped salad kits wherever you like to shop. It is available at all major grocery stores. It's so easy to find. They have tons of different flavors, different size bags. So get your bag at Taylor Farms, available at all major grocery stores. Today's episode is also brought to you by Quince. Our closet was chaotic, crammed with a bunch of clothes and nothing to wear. And the game changer was upgrading to high quality, affordable pieces from Quince. Now we have a wardrobe of luxury essentials that transition from one occasion to the next, and we stayed on budget. I feel like we were talking about Quince on the Patreon yesterday. Like, really, we are all about investing in good things. Not everything needs to be fancy, but certain items, especially clothing items in your closet, are really worth investing in, because what are you going to replace it every year? You're going to end up spending what you would have just spent if you bought the good one at
years
first.
Ago.
And Quince is really, in our opinion, the best place to invest in those types of pieces. So I have great pieces from Quince that are made really well. I love my cashmere sweater from them. I have a great pair of black slacks from them. And those are things that, like, you can style a million different ways. You can really wear them every day and nobody would even notice. And it's just, like, cute. Like, when I wore my cashmere sweater, Paige DeSorbo said it looked cute. And Quince partners directly with all the top factories, so they're going to cut the cost of the middleman and pass the savings on to us. So if you're going to invest, do it at Quince, because I think it's a more affordable option. They only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, which we love. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/toast for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/toast to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/toast. Jax, real quick, what's your favorite item you've gotten from Quince?
Chunky knit.
Chunky knit. Today's episode is also brought to you by Caraway. So with so many collections to explore, there is sure to be a Caraway for every kind of cook. Whether you're the moronic cook like me, who just needs a pan that's not going to get burnt on, not going to get scraped on, because I am going to burn. And if I ruin my pan, like, that's just so annoying. Caraway is really for the idiot-proof chef, but also for more of the novice chef, like Jackie. Is novice the word?
What are you trying to say?
Like fancy?
No, novice is new.
Oh, I'm the new novice.
Yeah.
You're like the geriatric chef? Yeah, that's right.
It's just the insults.
Their internet famous kitchenware is a staple.
I'm so hyped on Caraway.
Is a staple for any home. It comes in a variety of modern shades to fit with whatever your design aesthetic is. It's non-toxic, so they're made without toxic materials. It's easy cooking, so the ceramic's naturally slick surface means that minimal oil or butter are required for slide off the pan eggs and easy cleaning. And it's well loved. Over 65,000 people have rated 5 stars about their Caraway kitchen. So now it's time for you to try it for yourself. Jax, we've been cooking in your Caraway. I made hard boiled eggs. I made taco meat. What else did we make? Oh, you made those weird eggplant meatballs yesterday.
Yeah, I followed a reel of Nona's recipe.
It was a flop, but not because of Caraway.
Not because of Caraway did their part and they didn't stick. And
things Caraway did.
Things Nona did ruined the eggplant meatballs.
Visit carawayhome.com/toasty to take advantage of this limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase. This deal is exclusive for the Toast listeners. So visit carawayhome.com/toasty or just use the code toasty at checkout. That's TOASTY, toasty. Caraway, it's non-toxic cookware made modern.
Love Caraway.
Me too.
Like, just so much.
Jackie ran out of printer paper. So I printed the Dear Toasters, which we'll get to shortly, on the back of this, which is It's the printer information page.
Oh, I was like, hopefully it's not confidential and you're showing it.
No, you had a stack of papers. I saw a latke recipe. I wasn't sure which back I should use. I went with this one because it seems like you don't need this information.
Maybe I do need it because I can't work my printer.
Well, don't worry. The IT department is here and I purchased all the Jackie's ICOM printer out of ink, out of paper.
No, but like she's been using it all week to print. I don't
Let's talk about it. Okay.
I don't use it that much. So it had enough ink for me for weeks.
Yeah, for weeks. What was it? 5 days ago, I said, hey, Jax, order more ink.
She keeps telling me.
Said it was running low. It wasn't out yet. So I gave you time.
No, but you kept telling me to order ink while I'm sitting here choosing the stories. And if I leave to go and order ink, then I go on a whole rabbit hole on my phone. And then the show gets backed up.
So the next day.
I just said, tell me when I'm not doing this. And you never did.
So the next day, I said, Jax, did you get that cartridge? Oh, no, I'll do it today. The next day,
I didn't say it was today. Remind me later.
The same thing. So the next morning, I come in here.
Oh, God forbid, the bitch orders the cartridges.
Basically, out of it. So I said, "Fuck it, I'll just do it." I ordered the cartridges. She comes in. I'm like, "By the way, annoying. I got the cartridges." You're like, "Wait, I already did it. It's arriving today."
In the foyer. No, they were in the foyer.
So I'm like, "Okay." So I canceled my Amazon order, put the cartridge in, and then the printer stops working. So the last 24 hours, the printer hasn't been working. And this morning I was like, okay, IT department, let's go. I'm futzing with it.
Fixes of printer, IT department.
It won't tell me. And then I realized Jackie bought the wrong cartridges. So when I put the new cartridge in, it was like, we don't know this cartridge. We are not compatible with this cartridge. So then I had to replace my order. And then I realized she's also out of paper. So I had to get more paper. And it's just been like this terrible saga. And nobody should ever have a printer.
You created this saga, perpetuated it. Next time, why didn't you just order the cartridges to begin with? Like you're on printer patrol.
I will. Lesson learned.
My cup is here. Yeah. My husband, I ordered a drink from downstairs.
Yeah. Husband came in when I was doing the ads and I swear to God, like I just saw a cup appear behind the door. My heart stopped.
That's classic dirty.
You guys will notice if you go back and rewatch the Quince ad, like there's a period where I just like stopped talking. I was like actually really scared.
Zach brought me a coffee. I ordered it like 30 minutes ago because I've been up since 6. So this is my third coffee.
Oh man.
And I finished my second one. I need a drink. We talk so much.
We do.
I didn't realize the coffee's not just decorative. Like
a
beverage.
We also like need
a fridge up here
to do some actual work in this studio. You need to throw out like everything in this studio.
I know, but like some you'll see some things. It's like, okay, the old mic flags. Like, do I throw those away?
Yes.
Okay.
I was just thinking like that can go in the trash.
That goes in our new storage unit.
I mean, it's a part of Toast Herstory, but like we can't think like that.
We only need one. No, but what I was going to say, yes, I should get a fridge in here so I can have cold drinks, but it's the restocking of it. Like, can you see me carrying like a thing of waters up the stairs? No.
No, you have a husband.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just like put a weekly
Should we go today to get a mini fridge?
Yeah. Well, I was
You also like, you have like 4 outlets in this room and we use every single outlet for chargers, cameras, lights. We need extension cords in here.
When I change the setup, like I have to change outlets and like everyone is spoken for.
No, we... Okay, project today.
There actually is one extension cord here and it's not used. The panel.
Wait, what?
There's a panel.
You know, there's an extension cord. It goes, so you plug it in. So you use one outlet and you get two. An extension cord with 2 plugs? Like, no thanks. Oh, and it has like 2 USB ports. Who the fuck needs that?
And also USB ports are going the way of the horse and buggy.
Yes, they are.
You're like, everything's USB-C.
Like, do not give me an extension cord that doesn't have at least 6 plugs. Like, that's insane.
There's a dearth of outlets.
Yeah, 1, 2.
You want to know something weird also?
There's actually not a dearth.
There's a lot of outlets in here for a small, tiny room. There's 6. There's another one here. There's 8.
No, that's 1, 2, 3.
4.
4. Yeah, I love outlets. No, I do.
This conversation is fascinating.
Do you guys, but no, like an outlet, especially like an outlet right next to my bed. Like I'm obsessed.
Oh yeah. But you don't want it to look ugly.
No, no. I'm sorry. Like right behind my headboard, but like in an accessible manner. Oh, to me, that's like pornography. Cause like, I have my hatch. I have my phone charger.
Oh my gosh.
I also have a bedside lamp, which is such a flat, like a bedside lamp is everything.
Everything. I have heating pad for brew. And then if I want to treat myself.
Kindle charger.
Yeah, so, the universal charger just for miscellaneous items.
And then like now I need the USB-C charger for my old Kindle and my new phone, like so dumb. So I need 6 outlets by my bed.
Wrong, they're wrong for that. We need to go outlet free, cordless. That shit never works though.
Never.
And if you have a squeegee on the back of your phone.
Squeegees like really starting to piss me off.
Don't even bother. I know, but I'm like such a content creator.
You are.
I'm a creator of content.
You are.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story, which is kind of perfect news?
Perfect news, yeah.
Vanessa Williams will star in a reimagined Devil Wears Prada musical. So Vanessa Williams is going to be playing Miranda Priestly in a newly reimagined version of the Devil Wears Prada musical, debuting at the Theatre Royal Plymouth on July 9th, the day before Turdy's birthday, 2024, ahead of a West End premiere.
Is it London? Yeah.
It's all London. So this is all happening in London. So I'm happy for the Londoners.
No, but this is like where shows get brought to Broadway.
And this is where things could start to happen. So I'm hopeful that this will be a rousing success when it comes to Broadway, because a more perfect casting I couldn't think of.
So there's so much to unpack here. First, like the sheer fact that The Devil Wears Prada is being made into a musical, and it's like, it is a star-studded production. The music is being done by Elton John.
I just want to say, it did already premiere in Chicago as a musical.
Oh.
And so now it's like, you know, picking up steam and it's heading to the West End. And
now they have like a celebrity casting.
Yeah.
And Vanessa Williams, who we all know as Wilhelmina Slater from Ugly Betty, and also like Miss America, and she has like a whole ton of accolades. Like, we know her from that. Is going to be Miranda Priestly. And I feel as though like her time on Ugly Betty was preparing her for this role.
It's the role she was born to play. It's the role that she's already played. She's also extremely musical and has a beautiful voice.
Yes.
So she was meant to play this role on Broadway.
I'm obsessed. Did we need a Devil Wears Prada musical? No. And what's with Broadway, like not being able to come up with original concept and just being like, you know, making old movies, Mean Girls, School of Rock, Matilda, making them into musicals. Like, I don't know who asked for that, but it's fine. If you're going to do it like this. Elton John, Vanessa Williams.
Yeah. It's a sleigh. It's a sleigh.
It's a sleigh. And I feel as though maybe we're going to be spending Turdy's 30th in London.
You think?
No.
We're going to champion this and make all the English toasters go so that it does get brought to Broadway.
Yeah. Like, I'm more excited about like the Vanessa Williams casting than I am. What do you think of Vanessa Williams from Ugly Betty or Desperate Housewives? Like, what's your association?
Ugly Betty probably ekes out just like by a little bit because like she wasn't like OG casting of Desperate Housewives, but then she actually had a huge role on Desperate Housewives. So it probably goes Ugly Betty, then Desperate Housewives.
She like became a main character, but she's not when you think of like the four Desperate Housewives. She's not one of them.
Yeah.
Which was a mistake.
Oh, for sure.
And I think once they cast her, they realized that. I think she actually might be in like the cast photos, the cover photos.
She is.
For like the fifth and sixth seasons, whatever season she was on.
Yes, I believe that she is.
And so was that freak, Catherine. She was the worst character.
The worst, but also an iconic role of Vanessa Williams is Hannah Montana, the movie.
The publicist, yes, of course. Love.
Love.
What else was she in? She doesn't get enough hype.
Yeah, but she's in everything. She's like, look at her IMDb. It's forever pages long.
Like, what do we know her
what
from?
Are our faves?
Yeah. Hannah Montana, that's such a good call.
Such a good one.
That movie was also low-key star-studded, like Tyra Banks.
Right.
And they were fighting over the shoe.
Right.
Love.
Yeah, so that's exciting.
It is exciting. And what's more exciting is that it's the time of the show that I really have been waiting for the entire day, Dear Toasters, which is our weekly advice segment. Every Wednesday, you can write into us, deartoasters@gmail.com if you want to email us. If you want to submit on our website, it's thetoastpodcast.com. And both ways of submitting are completely anonymous. So do it over there. And I'm going to start with the update that we have. So as you guys know, I recapped in the beginning of the show. Don't make me do it again. The last we heard from this girl was she didn't know what to do with this information. She found the condom.
She was going on a trip with her husband.
And they had a Valentine's Day trip planned. And our advice to her was basically don't have sex with him because he just had sex with his rando hooker. And
rando hooker.
Maybe like sit on the information, see if he comes to you. Like,
yeah.
It'll be very interesting to see how he acts now that you know.
Yeah. No, now that he's done it.
And now that you know about it, like you can watch him with that perspective. Him. Hey, girlies. I didn't know anyone wanted a further update until I saw the pod Friday, and now I need to deliver the rest of the story. First and most importantly, I did not have sex with my husband during our weekend away. Luckily, I got food poisoning, and it was easy to refrain from that weenie of a man.
Did he poison you? Did she poison you?
Literally. Second, I wanted all week for him to confess his sins, but he never did. Monday evening, the other woman messaged my husband, needing some sort of maintenance, and he ignored the message. I asked if he was going to go assist, and he said no. I pulled out the condom wrapper and slammed it on the coffee table. He immediately started apologizing, explained that the girl had given him a beer after the job, and that turned into multiple beers. She came on to him and, quote, it just happened. He said he didn't mean for it to happen, and he hasn't talked to her since. I freaked out and started crying, ended up packing a bag, and went to my sister's house. I called into work today, and I've been thinking about this whole situation all day. He's tried calling and texting, but I've ignored them. I haven't told my sister the full story because I'm not sure what I'm going to do. What should I do? What would you do? I'm a total mess.
Okay. So far, you're handling everything like perfectly. So amazingly.
I also understand you not telling your sister because like once you do, like it makes it real. And like if you guys do end up working things out, but like then your sister knows that your husband cheated on
but
you.
Even like, still, like even if you work things out and maybe she will be less quick to forgive him, like you shouldn't keep these secrets. It's not your, like it's—
you didn't do anything wrong.
You didn't do anything wrong. And like your sister should know like the state of your marriage, because also you need to be able to talk to her going forward. Like, okay, we're, even if you work it out, like we're back together, but I'm feeling this way. Like you need someone to talk to. I would tell your sister, even though like, yeah, she's going to look at him differently, but like if you forgive him, eventually she will too. So that's not a reason not to tell her.
And I want to preface by saying, I'm actually not one of these people who's like, you cheated, I'm out. Like, I do think people can come back from things. It's all situational.
It's all— it depends on the person. And it depends on like the existing relationship.
And my opinion here is that you should leave. I think that you have no children, so there's really nothing holding you to this man. Two, you're like kind of newly married, and the fact that he really wasn't able to keep his dick in his pants for that long, like this is not going to be a one-time thing. I also think the way he covered up the crime and his reaction to you was like kind of a letdown. Like, take responsibility. She like gave me a beer and like it just— she the gave on to me. Like, I take fucking accountability.
I agree. Take accountability. But I believe him that that's what happened. Like, the woman— I know that it takes two to tango and he was the one who was in a relationship, but like this woman has been preying on your man since she moved in. She saw a window like with the beer, and I think he was so fucking dumb. Just like the way he made you feel bad because you like had a weird feeling about her. Like, he was so naive to what she was doing, but she was throwing all kinds of tricks on him.
For sure, and I think personal like, accountability is important. No,
but like, I think he never expected that to happen or intended for that to happen, and just is a dumb idiot loser. But like,
and do you want to be married to a dumb idiot loser?
And like, before this happened, like, how would you have described your relationship?
Right.
You know?
Right. I just feel like nothing ventured, nothing lost. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Cut clean. Like, to cheat on someone so early in your marriage, it's like, why did you get married?
No, dumb idiot loser.
Yeah. And then it's like, do you want the father of your children to be dumb? No, like, no.
That's bad.
It's bad.
And that he would cheat on you, not even come clean. I hoped maybe, like, you know, you guys would have a weekend and, like, this would be eating at him and he'd be acting weird and he would come clean and, like, okay. But he would have never told you. If he got away with it, what would he do it again?
Right. And he'd let you—
except
go
he
on
did
it.
Ignore the message. But like, that's just the—
who
first
cares?
That's just the first time.
That's like what happens in an affair. Like, you freak out. You say you're never going to do it again. Then you get into a fight with your wife and you run to the lady's house. Like, him not answering her text is not a check in his column.
Leave.
Like, goodbye. Goodbye. Really. It's giving such loser energy. Like, and I don't know. Like,
and it's like, I'm thinking the most recent like conversation we had about cheating was like Victoria and David Beckham, and they worked it out and it was fine. But like, listen, he's not David Beckham.
He's not David Beckham. And by the way, they had like kids and they had a whole life together. Yeah. Like, you have to weigh, could you not get past this? It's worth, you know, putting to bed everything you two have been together. Sounds like you two haven't even been together that long. You don't have kids. You don't have a life. Like, and the first opportunity, like, okay, you're saying like the woman was the harlot who preyed upon him. I'm saying like it takes two to tango. But the first time that happens, like, you're so weak.
You're so weak.
Like, ew, honestly, it's an ick. Like, obviously the cheating.
No,
for
no,
sure.
But the weakness.
But like, the fact that you're like a big dopey loser who has not even the smallest bit of self-restraint, ick.
No, and like can't see that this person is like how she's behaving. And like you just have bad judgment.
Yeah. And I don't think that's who you want to like father your children and be your husband. And it's giving weenie of the week.
Yeah. Who used his weenie.
And I think you should leave him. We will not judge you if you don't. Because I do think people can come back from things. And I think there are a lot of people who went on to have—
if there's things worth saving, based on what we know, it doesn't sound like he's worth saving. Yeah. But maybe you know other things that we don't. And so that's completely your call.
It's your call. And we won't judge you either way.
But this is grounds for leaving. If you think you're overreacting, you're not.
Yeah.
At all. You're actually like being really cool about it.
Yeah, you are.
Like, and you gave him a conversation. You didn't like key his car and burn his things and throw
and
him out
I
the door.
And I took my key into the side of his pretty little souped up four wheel drive. Yeah. But feel free to carve your name in his leather seats.
Yeah.
Keep us posted, of course. Thank you for routinely keeping us updated. Like, it means the world. And if you need us, we're here for you.
Yeah. Keep keeping us updated. Hopefully, like, Wednesday we could share more on what you decided.
Yeah, I would love.
But you also don't need to decide anything permanent this week. Like, stay at your sister. See how you feel.
You're take so a lucky to have weeks. A sister nearby. Like,
tell your sister, though. Because the secrets, like, it will poison you. And it's not your poison.
Right. And then you, like, you're keeping a secret and you didn't do anything wrong.
And that isolates you from the people that you love. And then you're punishing yourself.
Yeah.
Tell your sis.
Hey, Jackson Turd. I started dating a guy 2 months ago. As a finance girl, I love to talk about money, and my new boyfriend owns his own business. How long do I have to wait before I ask him how much money he makes? I don't care. I'm just genuinely curious. Love a girly who hopes he doesn't take it the wrong way.
I think you can ask.
2 months is like, actually, I'm sorry, you can't ask.
It depends like how serious you are 2 months. But once you hit like, you know, exclusive,
saying
serious
I love you.
Relationship, yeah, like that's part of a relationship.
Financial transparency. Like, I'm trying to think, like, when me and Ben, but we were also, like, kids. Like, we're in college. We, like, didn't have jobs. Like,
Zach and I told each other pretty early because we worked at the same company.
Oh, I'm telling HR.
It was, like, more so, like, very curious, like, talking to a coworker.
Right. But which is, like, you're really not allowed to do that.
No, you're allowed to do whatever the fuck you want.
No, you're, like, not supposed to tell your coworkers how much you make.
That's
like the rule of HR.
I would never tell a coworker how much I made because I was never close enough with a coworker to, like, have casual conversation, let alone like that.
Yeah.
But we worked in like different departments, so we weren't like competitive, but I'm just like curious.
Yeah. I think that it's not so much about like how much time you've been together. It's about the status of your relationship. So like, are you in love? Are you exclusive? Are you moving fast? Are you moving slow? Are you just like dating or are you boyfriend and girlfriend?
Yeah. And like when the conversation veers into financial territory, then ask, don't just like out of the blue one day, bring it up.
Yeah. That's actually a really good point. Cause then you like look a little crazy. But I understand, like, she's really only asking out of sheer curiosity. I'm a curious person, too. Like, I get that.
But I do think that you can ask. I don't think it's an out-of-bounds question. Did she say what he did? Like,
no, he owns his own business. So it's not like he has a job and a salary.
Oh.
So it's just, like, it's a little, like...
It's you're not going to get a straight answer.
Right, because people who own their own business, like, ourselves, like, if somebody asked me how much I made, like, I couldn't tell you a number.
Yeah, and also, it's like, the business might have made this, but we're putting it back into the business.
How much am I taking home?
Right. He might not be taking home anything because he's waiting to sell. Like, you're going to get a whole runaround.
He's going to give you the rigmarole. Like,
you're going to ask, you're going to get an answer, and you're going to feel like you don't have an answer.
And you're going to wish you didn't even ask because you didn't get an answer, and then you're the person who asked.
Yeah.
Maybe just wait till it comes up naturally. It will come up. It's a part of like joining lives.
Yeah.
It's a huge part of it. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's kind of my favorite part of Love is Blind when they do the finances or like they just talk to each other about like, do you have debt? Student loans, credit card loans, how much do you make? Do you own a business? Like, it's, I find I'm like nosy and it's interesting, but it also like is a huge part of like a life together.
Yeah.
Like, do you own your apartment? Do you own your house?
Yeah, that is true. There are a couple like foundational conversations that they have to have. They assume that they don't show us.
Well, actually you texted me. I had totally forgotten because people are just talking now about Megan Fox, Chelsea. Like that's all they're talking about. But there was actually a really interesting conversation on the third episode of Love is Blind that we kind of breezed past because like that couple's kind of irrelevant. We've gotten like no airtime.
I don't even know their names.
Jeremy and Sarah. And she was basically just like,
he asked her about politics.
Right. Which I'm sure that they talk about. Sure They've never shown it.
I assume that every couple has that conversation and probably also like religion would be there too. And unless it's like the thing that's binding them, like Kenny and
Brittany,
we don't need to see it. And also that's really personal stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think it's better when they don't air it, but they just raw dog aired this girl's answer.
No. And she was also like very, I think she was, oh, did he ask or she asked?
He asked.
It's like such a crazy, and then they went into abortion.
Yeah.
And just like these really hot button issues. And they seemed like they sort of were on the same page.
Conversation actually like
was really healthy,
but it was just like kind of unfair that they only aired hers.
No, totally. It was like kind of crazy.
No, I was.
And by the way, like those are the questions. Like you really need to be on the same page with someone. Like those are like foundational things. But
I don't think that they, well, maybe they aired this because I don't think, so she's conservative, but the vibe I got is that he's not.
Yeah, but he didn't say anything back.
No, they probably didn't air what he said because she said, you know, I'm conservative, but I definitely have left-leaning friends and I love them and we can just like talk about stuff. So I feel like that might be their story. I don't know if they get together or whatever, but maybe politics is what comes between them. And that's why they showed us this conversation.
I won't answer you because like I know more than you and I don't want to spoil and I don't want you to read my facial reactions either.
Okay, I'm sure. Look, I feel like from what you're saying, like he went with Blondini.
I'm literally not saying anything.
The blonde lady that also likes him.
Maybe if you, you know, finish the episodes, you would
know. I'm working as hard as I can.
I know. Was that our third or our fourth? I can't remember.
Two.
Which one did I do? I did the update.
That was two.
Okay.
The question? Finances.
How long did you have to wait?
Ask. But he owns his own business, so there's
so
no
like
answer.
You're not going to find any.
And every year is different. Like,
yeah. Okay, final one. Dear Turd and Jackie O, I had a baby 6 months ago. My husband and I have planned for multiple children. We are enjoying parent life, and recently I mentioned that I'm ready for round two. My husband mentioned my weight. He said that he doesn't think I should get pregnant until I lose the baby weight. I reminded him that I was smoking hot and in the best shape of my life when I met him, and he was a doughboy when we met. I need advice. Should I divorce him? Should I shame him? Make him buy me jewelry, etc.
Okay. First of all, I hate him. Like, I just want to say, like, this just, like, gives me such a pit. It's not his place to say anything. And I just have to ask the question, like, is he saying it because of aesthetics or because of health?
Right.
Because, like, you know, medically, like, it is
safer.
Healthier and safer to get pregnant. Like, if you are severely overweight, like, it poses health risks.
She says baby weight. Oh, well, that's weight from the baby, not, like, I was thinking, like, baby fat. Never mind.
But it's, like, and only really you can answer this question. I don't need you to update us, but, like, is it because he wants you to, like,
be hot?
Aesthetically, like, you know, because, and if you start to gain weight at this weight, like, it's obviously going to be more. Or is it because it poses a risk? Like, really, how overweight are you? Sorry to ask that question. Because if it's the first one, hate, goodbye. Like, I hate you.
Yeah.
If it's the second one, like, it's so annoying to hear, but it's not without merit.
Yeah, but there are ways to say it. And if he was saying it in, like, the health concern kind of way, he obviously failed.
I just don't think there's a way to say it that's ever going to...
I know.
That's ever going to... feel okay, where it's like, oh, well, he said it right. Like, no, it's still the same message, even if it's, you know, it's dog also, shit message.
It's also, like, something you really have to come to on your own. Like, because I speak from experience where I was like, I used to think, like, yeah, I'll get pregnant. But now, like, when I think back on my weight loss journey, like, so much of it was, like, I really couldn't, not from, like, a fertility perspective, like, I don't know how safe it would have been for me to have gotten pregnant at that weight. And I'm not pregnant. I don't plan on being pregnant. But it's something I think about.
Yeah, no, and plenty of, like, people are pregnant and they get pregnant overweight and everything's fine. And it's not necessarily like a bad thing, but it can pose higher risk. So that's just something to think about. But
it really doesn't sound like that's what he was saying from. Like, it sounds like he was like giving like for the aesthetic.
Well, then he can go fuck himself and I hate him. Okay. And it's like,
oh, she cursed.
No. And it's
in the swear jar. Was that the only time you cursed?
No, I think I've been cursing this man for the last 2 minutes. By the way,
and I totally was not like paying attention to the whole
right,
episode.
That's what I mean. Like, I don't pay attention when I curse.
Let us know in the comments.
But, and I just like, and it's not as if, and it's your body. So it's like, it's not as if you're not aware of these things, you know? So it's like for him to say, it's like, okay, thanks, Captain Obvious. Like,
yeah, thanks, Dick.
Like, go fuck yourself.
No, totally. Totally.
And it's like, if it's your body. So if you decide that like you're okay, that this amount of weight is like, okay to get pregnant again. Like I didn't lose all my Harry weight before, right. But I got to a place where I was like, okay, this is a good amount and I feel comfortable getting, like it's my choice to make.
Yeah, also, I just feel like nobody's ever sat someone down and talked to them about their weight. Like, even the person who does it in the best way, like, really coming from a place of love and concern for their health. Like, even if, you know, in a hypothetical...
Yes, people have, but there's just no...
No, I'm sorry. You know, let me finish.
Okay.
Even if they did it in the best way, like, and gotten through to the person. Like, it's really something you have to come to on your own.
Yeah, and there's no good way to do it.
Nothing anybody could have ever said to me to make me think that, like, to inspire me to go on my health journey. Like, it really was something that took me like 10 years to come to. And some people come to it faster, some people come to it slower, some people don't come to it. No one, sitting a person down, like, it doesn't help.
No, no.
It doesn't work.
And he needs to get that memo. And it's all, like, for you, it's like, you'll make the decision within yourself. It's like, some people wanna gain the weight and then lose all the weight before they gain more. Some people wanna just kind of like pile it on and then I'll lose it all
when they're done when having I'm kids. Done.
Different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
And so, you don't have to lose the weight.
Right. Or some people don't and they're fine. But also some people don't have like the issues we have. Like, it's just like, I had a baby and then I lost some weight. Like, how?
I had a baby and then I lost my baby weight. And like, it
just fell off.
No, but it didn't, not even fell off. Like, you know, 9 months on, 9 months off. Like, unless I work at it, I won't be losing the rest of my baby weight.
Right.
But not everyone's like that.
Yeah. It's so crazy.
So you decide for yourself how you want it to go, and then you tell him how it's gonna go, and he'll be lucky if he's still around to see how it goes,
and he'll be lucky if he's around to father child number two.
Right.
Sorry you're going through that, girly. Sorry to all the girlies who are clearly struggling today.
I'm so like annoyed.
Ah, you know what we need? Lunch.
Speaking of gaining weight, lunch.
I think we're going to go to the farmer's market or something. Like, I'm hungry.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to take Turdy to a market so that she can get Turdy Tings.
And I'm excited about that.
That's our show.